Tonight, the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Appreciate each of you was able to come out this evening. We're thankful for the fine crowd we had this morning. And just, you look back, it wasn't that many there. Then all of a sudden, it just started from the back, just started filling in. We're thankful for everyone that's here. Continue to pray that the Lord would add and the Lord would continue to save. We'd love to see people saved and added. Last year, we did a lot of baptisms up to this point, and then we haven't done one this year yet. So we want to pray that the Lord would add folks and save souls. We got to ask for that. I think when the Bible says you have not because you ask not, I think it means just exactly what it says. If you've not been asking for it, then you shouldn't be expecting it. So we need to pray that the Lord would bring in new members and bring back old members and save souls. And that's what we need to ask the Lord to do. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking tonight at verses 1 through verse 4. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the great privilege that we have of, well, having a church, having a place where we can meet, where it's comfortable, we can sit, and we got Bibles, and we got music, and Lord, you've been so good to us. We don't deserve a drop of it, but we're thankful for it this evening. As we move into this message this evening, we pray that you'd grant the unction of the Spirit of God, that we would present it in such a way that's understandable. Again, we pray for traveling grace this coming week, and pray for little Jacob as he'll be bringing the message this coming Wednesday, and we pray that you'd bless the church in a mighty way. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. We're going to title this message, Dead and Risen, Dead and Risen with Christ. And we're going to try to cover verses 1 through 4. I had 2 pages this morning. I covered half the first page. I just looked down and just gave up, you know, and just set it aside and quit early. I'll try to get back on that message maybe next week. Just depends on how the Lord directs. But dead and risen with Christ. Now, if what we're going to begin with is verse 1 talks about how we're risen with Christ. Then you go down to verse 3 and it says you are dead. But I want to move back to Colossians 2 and verse 20 because it mentions there you're dead also. It says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ." You see the terminology? If ye be dead with Christ. So we have that then in Colossians 2 and 20. And then you have it again over in Colossians 3 and verse 3. It says again, "Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." So twice it says you're dead. Now we realize we're dead in trespasses and in sins. That's really not what it's talking about. The text is focusing on the fact that we're dead with Christ. See, there's a total different type of look at this. And that's the same thing you have in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now, why are we viewed as having died? Well, when did we die? Well, we died 2,000 years ago. Did you realize that? We're identified with Christ's death. 2,000 years ago, when was my sins paid for? I'm asking. My sins were paid for 2,000 years ago. Where at? They were paid on Calvary. He paid our sin debt. He paid our sin debt in full 2,000 years ago. And we're viewed as having died in Christ. Isn't that a glorious thing? Now, we got another text that says that. Let's go over to the book of Galatians 2. This one's a little bit more popular, I think. They're all popular, but this one's the one that most generally people know. So twice it says that we are dead with Christ, meaning that when Jesus died on Calvary, that's when my sin debt was paid, and I'm identified with his death. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, you have the same thing. I am crucified with who? When was you crucified? Crucified with Christ. When Jesus died on Calvary, he was being crucified to pay your sin debt on Calvary. So he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith to the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we're identified with him. When Jesus died, I died. That's when my penalty was paid for. I wrote this down. I thought this was something to remember. The law of God says, Jeff Arthur, you've broke my law and you're under a curse. Jesus steps forward and says, he died the day that I died and I paid his debt in full. That's the meaning of the text. And that's what he's done. He paid my debt in full. And when did he do it? 2,000 years ago. So my death, the death I owed, Jesus paid. And the only way you can have your debt paid for in full is by trusting Jesus Christ. And then you're viewed as having died when he did. When did Jesus determine to die for you? Let's turn and let me show you this in Revelation chapter 13. Calvary was a plan. It was orchestrated in the councils of eternity past. Before the world ever began, God determined that Christ would die for us. Does everybody in the house agree with that? He determined it. Calvary was a plan. It indeed wasn't no accident. Revelation chapter 13. And notice what it says in the verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb. Now notice when the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Before the world ever began, God determined that he was going to provide his Son to die for our sins on Calvary. Isn't that a marvelous thing? He determined that before the world ever began. Calvary wasn't an accident. Calvary was a plan. Pre-planned before the foundation of the world. Is that a glorious thing? Oh, my beloved, it certainly is. Okay, so here, let's go back to our text in Colossians. We died in him. We looked at Colossians 2:20. If ye be dead with Christ, then we're skipped down to verse 3. It says, for ye are dead. Twice. And our life is hid with Christ in God. So we're identified with him. Jeff Arthur, when was your debt paid in full? 2,000 years ago. Yeah. Where at? In Jerusalem. He paid for it on Calvary's cross. And we are identified with him. If you're here tonight and born again, you died in Christ. You died in Christ. And that's the only way you can have your sins paid for. Without Christ, you have no hope. If you trust anything other than Christ, if you're trusting your good deeds and all these other kinds of things that people trust in, you'll never make it. The only way, we sing the song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when Jesus died, I died. You know what else he did? I probably shouldn't skip off on this, but I'm going to mention this to you. You can write this down and look it up. Not only did we die when Jesus did, but he also gave us a heart to know him. He also gave us a heart to know him. Let me see if I can find that text for you. And sometimes when you're preaching, things come to man. And I'm going to see if I can find this. Jeremiah chapter 24. Yeah, Jeremiah 24 and verse 7. I want you to listen to this. And I will give them a heart to know me. If you're here tonight and you know the Lord, why do you know the Lord? He give you a heart to know him. Now, who's that give the glory to? Yeah, it gives all the glory to God, doesn't it? The reason why you know him is he gave you, that's written in the book of Jeremiah, is he gave you a heart to know him, that I am the Lord and they shall be my people and I'll be their God. He give us a heart to know him. That's a glorious, glorious text of Scripture. 1 John chapter 5, you know, I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn there, but 1 John chapter 5 has a similar text. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come. And what's he done for us? He gave us an understanding. I understand who Jesus is. Do you? I understand why he come, why he died, why he resurrected. I understand about salvation and imputed righteousness and all these things we talk about, forgiveness of sin. I have an understanding of these things, but who gave me the understanding? Jesus did. God did through the Holy Spirit. And that's why we know. And what does that do, though? What should that do? That should humble you. That should humble you. We don't know these things because we're smarter than everybody else. We know these things because the Lord in his grace seemed fit to give us a heart to know him and to give us an understanding to know him. All God's people say it. That's a glorious thing. Now, that should humble you. That's why we know him. And that should make you appreciative of the salvation that you have. He's the reason why you have it. So we're viewed, let's go back to our text in the book of Colossians. We're viewed as having died in him. When Jesus died, that's when Jeff Arthur died. That's when his sin debt was paid. And what's that old song they used to sing, I've been to Calvary? And that's what that song is basically about. We died when Jesus did because that's when he paid our debt in full. Okay? All right. Now let's move back up to chapter 3, to verse 1. I brought in verse 3 because I put it with verse 20 of chapter 2 of Colossians because I wanted to begin with the death, then talk about the resurrection. It says in verse 1, if ye be risen with Christ. Now, we done seen that we died with Christ, but now it says that we have risen with Christ. Not only did we die when Jesus did, but when Jesus resurrected, we're viewed as being resurrected in him. We're living and walking in resurrection life now that we are born again. Dying and rising again. By dying and rising again, Jesus gave us victory over. By dying and rising again, Jesus gave us victory over sin, over death, and over hell. That's amazing. And how did he do it? By dying and by rising with him. We're viewed as having died in Christ. We're viewed as also as having been risen in Christ with victory over sin, victory over death, and victory over hell. You want to know a little something else? Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse 6. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. So, let's go back to the beginning. We're viewed, since Jesus, when he died on Calvary, paid my sin debt on Calvary, that's when my sin has been what? That's when my sin was paid for. So I'm viewed as having died when he did. Number two, when he resurrected, and when he resurrected, he conquered sin, death, and hell. He conquered all three of those things. So when he resurrected, guess who else resurrected? I did. And what do I got victory over now? Victory over sin, death, and hell. So we're totally identified with him. I like this one too. I haven't mentioned this to you in a good while. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. Well, let me go ahead and read verse 5. I can't pass up verse. Well, let me read verse 4 too. But God, you looked up in the verse, didn't you? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love. He loved us how much? A great love. It was a great love that put Jesus on the cross, y'all think? It was a great love. The reason why he did that is he had a great love for you and a great love for me. And I can't fathom that for you. I can't even tell you why he did that. Because there wasn't nothing in me that merited that love, yet he loved me. And if that don't humble you, there's something wrong with you. Because I'm going to tell you something. None of us deserved that. None of us did. But he loved me with what kind? A great love. He loved us with a great love wherewith he loved us. Why did he love us that much? I don't know. There's nothing in me that merited it. I didn't deserve it. If I got to what I deserved, earth would open up and I'd slide into hell. But he loved me. He loved Jeff Arthur. He loved Jeff Arthur. He paid my price. Paid a great price for me. Loved Terry Stewart. You know, he loved all of you. I mean, he loved you. loved you by name, knew you by name, paid your price so you'd have everlasting life. All right, verse 6. Now it says he's raised us up. Now we've seen we died when Jesus did, right? That's how we're viewed. That's when our penalty was paid. We're viewed as having died in him. We resurrected in Christ with all the victory that comes with that. So we resurrected in Christ. Now look at verse 6 of Ephesians 2. It says, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us. What's quickened mean? Somebody tell me. Made alive. Before you was quickened, what was your condition? You was dead. You was a spiritual corpse. You was dead. You ever wonder why lost people can send under a message that's hot about the second coming or about salvation and all these things and just sit there and just like water off a duck's back? You know why it is? They're dead. Just like you were dead at one time. What do dead people do? They just kind of lie there, don't they? When you're dead spiritually, you just stay in your condition. I was what? And you was what? We were all dead in trespasses and sins. That's true of everyone here tonight. We was all dead in trespasses and sins. So it says, even when we were dead in sins, what to say that he did in Ephesians 2 and verse 5? What did he do for us? He quickened us. What's quickened me? He made you alive. He gave you life. It's just like we say all the time. It's just like Lazarus. Lazarus in that tomb and had the rock over it, and he was dead. And what happened? Jesus came to that tomb that day, and he called him, didn't he? He said, what? Lazarus, come forth. Buddy, when Jesus called him, he gave him life. And out of there he came. He did that for you spiritually too. You were a spiritual corpse. He called you by his grace. He gave you an understanding. He opened your heart and he drawed you right to him. Oh, God's people say it. That gives who glory, oh? What I just preached, who does that give all the glory for your salvation? That's all Jesus, isn't it? That's where it belongs. You can't take no credit for anything. It's all Jesus. And I feel we're pretty comfortable in preaching that, okay? All right, let's go back. Let's go back to the book of Colossians now. Chapter 3. So we died. And now we died in Christ, and now we're also viewed as having resurrected in Christ. We resurrected in him. And we've been resurrected to what kind of life? A new life. We've resurrected to a different life now. We're not to live as we did before. We'll talk more about that here in just a little bit. We're not to live as we did before. And when he resurrected us, when we trusted the gospel, and we trusted that he died for us, and trusted that he resurrected for us, he gave us victory, as I said, over sin, over death, and over hell, and we're even viewed as being seated. Did you hear what I said? You're even viewed as being seated in heavenly places in who again? In Christ. I ain't there yet, but I'm just the same as there. See, I'm identified with his death. I'm identified with his resurrection. I'm identified with his ascension. Seated at the right hand of the Lord. Isn't that a glorious thing? That's what we have in Christ Jesus. So let's read on. All right. If you be risen with Christ, now let's go back to, now that we've run that out, if ye then be risen with Christ, what's it tell you you should do then after that? What's it tell you to seek after in verse 1 of chapter 3? What are we to do? We're born again now. We've trusted Jesus. We're identified with his death. We're identified with his resurrection. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We're born again. We've got a glorious future ahead of us, right? Now, how are we to live? What's it say in verse 1? Seek those things which are above. We're to seek after heavenly things. And, Stewie, I watch for that in people. I watch for people. There's a lot of people that claim to be saved that are not seeking after heavenly things. They don't seek after it. They seek after everything else. They seek after a lot of worldly things, but they don't seek after heavenly things. We're to seek those things which are above. Our life completely changes whenever you've trusted Christ as your Savior. You start to seek things which are above. You have what the Bible calls a heavenly mind. You care about heavenly things. It's the spiritual things that matters more to you than anything else. So we're to seek those things which are above. I wonder about folks that don't do that. Do y'all? It bothers me. A lot of people make professions of faith. Then it seems all they do the rest of their days is seek things which are of the world. He says to seek things which are what? Well, are above. And he gives you a spiritual mind when you're born again. He gives you the Holy Spirit in you, and all these things directs you into following the Lord. Seek the heavenly things. Now, notice what it says in the verse 2. Almost done. It's only 8 o'clock. It says, set your affection. Now, the idea of affection is to set your mind. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. We're to have a spiritual mind. We're to have a heavenly mind. You know, they used to say about people, and I never did believe this, but they used to talk about people, they said they're so heavenly minded or of no earthly good. Have you ever heard anybody say that before? And that's somebody that's super dedicated. But nothing wrong with being super dedicated, is there? We should be dedicated to the Lord. So heavenly minded of no earthly good. That's not true. If you're heavenly minded, your affection then is set more onto these spiritual things. I think one of the things that shows your change is what do you like now? What do you like? What do you like? What do you enjoy doing more than anything else? Yeah, what is it? Reading God's Word? You like to read God's Word? How many of you like to hear God's Word? You like to hear God's Word? You like to pray? You like to be in church? I can remember hating church. Just to be blunt with you, I hated it. I didn't want to go. I just soon stayed at the house. You know, I liked the people here and all, but I just, man, preaching an hour, they like to wore me out, you know. That's the way I was. Didn't enjoy it. But when I begin to seek those things which are above, how I lived and what I cared about totally changed. He set my affection on the heavenly things. And my whole life changed after that. I have a heavenly mind. I wonder about folks who claim to be saved that have no thirst for spiritual things. So let me say it one more time. I wonder about folks who claim to be saved that have no thirst for spiritual things. Do you? It makes me wonder about it. I don't know nobody's heart. Don't claim to know it. Don't try to. I just know there's something ain't right there. Y'all think? Matthew 5 and verse 6 is the Beatitudes. In Matthew 5, 6, it says, blessed are they who hunger. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's a hunger. You know why you go out and eat or go someplace and eat or go in to fix you something to eat? Sometimes you do that because you're hungry. You have a hunger for it. You ever got sick before and you ever get sick and maybe you're sick at your stomach and you didn't have a hunger? You didn't have a hunger, so you didn't want to go do what? Somebody come in with food, you went, oh, get it away from me. I don't even want to smell it. Have you ever done that? I don't even want to smell it. Well, when you're born again, he gives you a hunger for spiritual things. And that's a hunger that the world doesn't feel. I've seen people drift from the Lord and not out of fellowship is what I'm talking about. Get out of fellowship with the Lord and they go out here in the world and they try to find joy in the world and they won't find it there. They miss that sweet fellowship with Jesus. Seriously, you miss it. You miss that closeness with Jesus, and that closeness with God's people, and that closeness with God's Word. You got to have it. You got to have it. It makes you happy. So we are to seek those things which are above, now that we've been dead and risen with Christ, and we're to set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Old timers used to say that God's people get too earthbound. You ever heard it? They get too earthbound. It seems like they're too worldly and too earthy instead of heavenly and spiritual minded. Okay? All right, verse 3, I done read this. We'll read again. For ye are dead. That's what it says. You're dead. Denver, when did you die? When did you die? When Christ died. You died in Him. When did you resurrect? You resurrected in Him. You're identified with Him. Okay? So you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. It's hid with Christ in God. Okay, let's go to verse 4 and then we'll stop. Y'all like these verses? Sweet, ain't they? They're absolutely sweet verses. We've died with Christ. We've risen with Christ. We're totally identified with Him. Therefore, how we live? We're to set our affection on things above. We're to seek those things which are above. We're not to be concerned about the earthly. We're to be concerned about the spiritual. That's what He tells us to do. And now He says, you are dead and our life is hid in Christ. Now it says, verse 4, Christ is our what? He's our life. Christ is our life. He's the reason we live. Philippians 1 and verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is a gain. Y'all believe that too? Yeah, to live is Christ. The reason you live now that you're born again is just the reason why you live now, you live for Christ. And you know why you do that? Because you want to. You want to. It's not something that's forced on you. Oh, I got to live for Jesus now. No, no. We want to live for Jesus. We get no greater joy than living for Jesus. To live is Christ, and then if I die, what is it going to be? Yeah, if I die, I'm not lose. Don't ever say you lost me. It's not a loss for God's people. It's a gain. Oh, my beloved, you gain paradise. Think of what all you gain. You gain paradise. Gain perfect health, too. Gain perfect health. Gain the prince. Get to see the Lord. Look, gain the loved ones that went off to be with you. Think of all you gain. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. I don't want to die yet. I'd like to live a bit longer, wouldn't you, Mike? I'd like to live a bit longer, you know. But if I die, it'll be a gain. It won't be a loss. Don't say, well, we lost poor old brother Jeff. Don't do that. No, no, you didn't lose me. You didn't lose me. You know exactly. Nothing's lost when you know where it's at. So that's a glorious thing. Now let me wind this up. Christ is our life. When Christ, who is our life, He's our reason for living. When He shall appear, are we waiting for His appearing? Twice it uses this word appear. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear. When Christ appears, you shall appear with Him in glory. Isn't that something? Who's our life? Christ. And when He appears, then we're going to appear with Him. Where at? And that's just right around the bend. Let's go ahead to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. Good text, ain't it? It's hard to mess that up. Matthew chapter 24. Boy, I love Matthew. It's a wonderful text. It's using this word appear. We've just seen it twice used in back in our text. Here in Matthew 24, he uses again, verse 29. Immediately after tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now look at verse 30. Here's what I was after. Then shall appear. See the appearing? He's going to appear. He's going to step out. He's coming with the clouds, the scripture says, right in this text. Then shall appear. We're waiting on his appearing. And that could be tonight or tomorrow or at any time. There's nothing left, according to the prophecy that I've studied, that has to happen. And the only reason he hasn't come, as far the way I read it, is he's still saving his people. I think he's still saving his people, and there'll be a day when that last lost sheep will be brought in the fold, and the king will look over at his son and said, "Now, you go get your people out. We're just waiting on that command." And he will. He'll step out. And people will see it. I think it's a visible thing. I don't think it's a secret thing. I think it'll be a visible. The Bible says every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. Everybody's going to see the Lord. It'll be a visible thing. They'll also see him at the judgment seat too, won't they? They're going to see him. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. Everybody see it? They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, Matthew 24:30, with power and great glory. And then what's he going to do? He's going to send forth his angels with the great sound of a what? Same thing you got in 1 Thessalonians 4. Same thing. Same trumpet. He'll send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. Will be noisy. It's not going to be a secret. People talk about secret raptures all the time. It's not a secret if you blow a trumpet. Seriously, if it's going to be a secret, you're not going to come blowing a trumpet and coming with a shout with the voice of the archangel that'll even raise the dead. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. All the tribes of the earth shall mourn. They mourn because we're not ready. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he'll send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together. He is what? Elect. Just mean the word elect means chosen. From the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. All God's people say it. Well, that text tonight is entitled.